still that he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got high school football to talk about at the end of the show. We've got college football games to talk about. Games coming up on the weekend as well. And, of course, it's Friday, so it's a financial Friday with our man Scott Garrison, Garrison Financial. And he's got a college football topic as well that has to do with the money, and it was quite frankly one of my favorite topics going in sports. I made a promise yesterday that I was not able to keep, and listen, that's just what Scott did. It's not I didn't text him and say, hey, I want to talk more about TV rights and conference realignment, but that's just the way it went. So that's what we're going to lead off the show with. 225-9698 is your phone or text line. 225-9698. Get in here, shoot us a text, give us a call, talk about anything that you want to talk about or all the topics I laid out. I'm sure Oklahoma State fans have something to say, probably good and bad, about last night. Man, the games last night, wasn't it nice to have college football back and just a great opening night in Pittsburgh and also over in West Lafayette. Just awesome endings to a couple of those games. So that's probably what we're going to focus on. Of course, Oklahoma coming up this weekend. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with us online, kadsam.com, or download that Paragon Communications app. The app is the way to go. It's free. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, a brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit all the website on Wednesday. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News at your favorite local newsstand right now and check out the deals for the Labor Day weekend. Also, Big Elk TV and Paragon TV back online tonight. Paragon TV will have Merritt and Cordell from out at Merritt. Also, we welcome the Hollis Tigers to Paragon TV tonight with Wilson down in town, down in Hollis. Big Elks on the road at Bridge Creek. Game time note, 7:30 is the kickoff for that one instead of 7. It's been moved back 30 minutes to accommodate Bridge Creek's homecoming. So if the Elks needed any more fire to go down there and win a game, hey, you're the homecoming opponent. Maybe that's it. So 7:30 for the kickoff, 7 o'clock for the pregame for Jared and I and Daniel Garbarino and the rest of the crew there on Big Elk TV tonight. If you miss the show, if you miss one of our shows, you can go back and listen to it, Skinny on Sports podcast. That thing is on KADS AM and also iTunes. Jared.
Yo.
Did you get any softball in last night?
Not at all.
Neither did the Elkettes and Tuttle.
We got warmed up, and that came in. So that was fun getting out of the parking lot. Everybody at one time, both baseball and softball at one time. Mass chaos.
Man, am I glad we played on Monday and weren't out there.
It was
last
crazy
night.
And I'm so proud of my kid. You know why? Because as soon as they said,
she didn't have her Luna bat straight up in the air.
No. And it was kind of scary because I was the one hitting them ground balls.
Yeah.
And they came, we got a lightning delay. I'm like, oh.
So when you think, you know what, maybe a wooden fungo would be kind of the better way to go.
But when they said, game's canceled, she just started bawling.
Oh, no.
I'm like, what's wrong? I wanted to play. I'm proud of her because of that. It's like, you know what? I'm proud of you, kiddo. Because I worried about her. Because when we first started T-ball, it was stand out in the outfield and cry.
Come a long way, baby.
She's come along.
Still crying, but for different reasons.
For different, better reasons. But no, it is. I get it. It is for the safety. And for a little bit, I thought that storm was going to miss us. I thought it was going to push off east, but then it kind of backbilled.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Yeah, but hey, we need the ring.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to complain. Not complaining.
We're not complaining about the
ring,
Jared.
Not at all. No.
Scott Garrison is in the house. Garrison Financial. It's a Financial Friday with Scott. How's it going?
It's going. It's going, guys. Everybody doing good?
Doing well. What's your excitement level for tomorrow?
My excitement level is really jacked up. I'm ready to rock and roll, get the Sooners back on the field. And I started out watching Oklahoma State last night. I flipped it over to West Virginia because I thought this game's over. and then found out that the game wasn't over.
Yeah, it got a little bit more exciting.
Felt like an OU game in the Riley era.
Am I going to have to start calling Oklahoma State Texas Tech East like
go.
I did Riley's team?
I guess so. If that continues,
I mean,
my
I can.
Goodness. Is my good, great offense, defense.
Or maybe it was just, you know, back to Oklahoma State football. That's what we've seen for a lot of the years in the Gundy era.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
We got plenty of time to talk about that. Scott is here. He is Garrison Financial. 124.
124 North Main.
North Main. I couldn't remember if it was 4 or 8.
Yeah.
So 124 North Main is where his office is at. That's the southeast corner of 3rd and Main. Email is scott@soonerwealth.com. You can do all your full financial planning. Shops the open market to bring the best value on life insurance and investments. He does a whole bunch more stuff that we're going to talk about throughout the show. What do you have on your mind for us on this fine Friday?
Well, your boy Jim was talking the other night, and I mean, he was lit up about the meeting today.
Oh, wait.
Oh.
I forgot. Before you get going,
we
talked about the walk up music yesterday. We have yours, it's actually you requested it, so here it is.
There you go. Money. Does it get better? Get away.
It's a pretty good song too.
It's a great tune.
It really
is. It's a great tune.
Okay, I distracted you. Go ahead.
That's all right. That's all right. Try to get it before I step into the box for the first pitch next time.
It was almost like you called time and looked up at the press box going, cue the organ, somebody.
There you go. Oh, so Jim was talking about it. So today's the day they're going to vote. If one guy votes against this deal, all of the schools could lose $112.5 million between them per year for the next 4 years. That's a pretty big vote.
Yeah, but you're talking about the expanding the playoff.
Expanding
to
the playoffs
12 teams
could mean it's $450 million is what they estimate the loss would be if they did not expand the playoffs.
And that would take effect. And the current contract runs through the 25 season.
Mm-hmm.
What they're talking about, is to start that in 24. So two extra years of a 12 team playoff. I think the proposal is a lot like it was. When it got shot down, when the alliance was formed,
specifically,
it looks like to me, so that the Big Ten could cuddle up to the Pac-12 to be able to take their two major properties in USC and UCLA. So that alliance went well for the Pac-12. but it's 12 teams. First round games are all going to be on campus games, from what I can gather. They haven't decided the nuts and bolts of it, but I think your point that you laid out is right. One person, one of the 11 people in that room, that's all it takes, because this has to be unanimous in order to quit the current TV contracts that are out there.
Yeah, so here's your Jeopardy question for the day.
Let me stop you. Okay. Unanimous, you said school or conference.
Yeah, there's like a president or something representing
conference. I was hearing some of this talk yesterday. Yes. I didn't know, is it one school that could throw a wrench in this whole deal, or one conference?
Yeah.
One conference.
And I'm sure the conference, they go, okay, what's the majority? Yay or nay?
It doesn't matter what the majority is. One guy.
Yeah.
So here's your question.
So one school. So that's what I'm hearing. If one school, let's say the Big 12 and Kansas says
no. It's conference, the way I understand it.
Yeah, Kansas doesn't have a say. No.
No, it's the conferences.
It's the con, not the school. So it's not like a North Texas can screw this up. It's a conference that could screw this up.
North Texas could if their president is the one in the room.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But a lot of times it's obviously probably the commissioners of the conferences
whatever.
Yep.
So your question is, which conference would be the one most likely to vote no?
I think this is an interesting question, because can I ask you a question?
Sure.
What is the format that is being agreed upon? Because I think it could be a multitude of conferences if automatic qualifiers aren't allowed. I think it's one conference if they are. To me, if everybody is for, if there are 10 votes for automatic qualifiers, meaning the automatic qualifiers as the conference champions, I think there's one that'll say no, and I think that is the SEC.
Why do you think the SEC?
Because that takes away their ability to get more teams in it, because those spots are handed out to teams that are, they think, lesser quality because they won a lesser conference.
That's most likely they're talking. That's true. But most likely it's probably going to be the five or six champions.
Right.
And then if they're it'll be the five or six champions if they're within a certain. I mean, obviously, they're not going to bring the 28th ranked team.
Right.
That's a conference champion of the Sun Belt to play in the playoffs.
So
they're not going to get in.
So, for instance, right now there are still five Power Five conferences, although it sure looks like that's going to be down to four with the Pac-12, those teams getting scattered into the Mountain West or what have you. But as of right now, so you're saying five automatic qualifiers plus a group of five if they're within a certain parameter, a lot like it is right now for those New Year's Six
bowls.
Which was the
original mm-hmm. lineup that actually went away when Oklahoma and Texas made the decision to move in 25. So which conference is the one that has the most to lose by them going to this?
So that to me then is the American.
Okay, why do you think that?
Because they are losing Houston, they're losing Cincinnati, and let's see, BYU's coming. Who's the other one?
Well, but they're already losing them anyway.
But I think they're, from what Mike Oresco, is that his name? He's the one fighting for the little guy to get the spot.
Okay, so if we're talking about $450 million over 4 years,
that's
$112.5 million per year, right? If Oklahoma and Texas go to the SEC, don't get me wrong, I ain't worried about the Shorthorns getting in anytime soon. But Oklahoma, the SEC just got another team that most likely will be in the playoff hunt every single year. Why would the SEC not say, hey, Big 12, here's your $80 million per year for the and we got Texas and Oklahoma. So the Big 12 is the conference that really, honestly, should probably go in there and say no.
Why? Because they're still going to have a seat at the table.
They're still going to have a seat at the table, but they'll still have a seat at the table. Right now they're at the table with Oklahoma and Texas.
Sure.
And if they vote this thing through and it goes to the 12-team format, Oklahoma and Texas will be gone. Why would the SEC not write a check?
I don't think it's going to be the SEC that writes the check. I think it's going to be ESPN that writes the check.
Well, there you go, too.
And that's why I thought the developments this week with the Big 12 all of a sudden being able to get into talks to change their deal early, that's what that signaled to me. ESPN is willing to cut the Big 12 a check that is higher than they probably would have without Oklahoma and Texas in order to get those two into their main property, which is the SEC as far as the conferences. Now, does that open up a chance for the Big 12? And it sure seems like they're being more proactive than ever of, hey, you, let's say the four corner schools.
Right.
With Utah, Colorado, and both Arizona and Arizona State. Get over here.
Absolutely.
Because if I'm the Pac-12 teams, any school in the Pac-12 outside of Oregon and Washington, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
No.
Because it's obvious they're wanting in the Big Ten. They've both met with the Big Ten in the last couple of weeks. Why in the world would they hitch their wagon to death when they could come over here and get that much more money than they were going to get?
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to toss that anchor over the boat, and they're going to sail on.
And I think that's why ESPN and Fox, to a certain extent as well, even though obviously the Big Ten is kind of their baby or going to be, but they can also throw a little cash because, you know what, it's in their best interest to get rid of the Pac-12 as well.
Sure.
Because who has the late window? ESPN.
Right.
And who could fill that the most? The Pac-12. So let's kill them. Let's kill them dead.
That's true.
I think that this is, I told you, I like this conversation more than even the games.
Can you imagine waking up at we complain. Oklahoma fans, we're sick and tired of 11 a.m. kickoffs.
Right.
How would you like to wake up in California at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning and go, man, I got 2 hours to get my stuff done before the 9 a.m. kickoff on Fox for USC versus Ohio State?
I mean, listen, I don't know how everybody else out there, how their game day goes. But for me, if I don't have anything else to do, my game day is centered around, like, you know, cooking food and drinking some cold ones. It's hard to get motivated at 7 a.m. to do both of those things.
Hard to get that grill ready at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, it is. And, you know, it just, an old Coors Light just don't taste as good at 7:30 as it does at 2:30.
It absolutely does not. And people kind of frown on that.
Well, I mean, there's also that.
So, anyway, but yeah, I don't know how far you're wanting to take it this morning.
But at I think at the end of the day, what we played and what your the money. Money is why this is going to happen. Is it the best thing for the sport? It could be. But I think what we saw last night, though, college football is still about the pageantry and the rivalries, the hate that you saw in Pittsburgh. Those teams haven't played in 11 years,
absolutely.
And you couldn't tell.
Absolutely.
And that's the only concern that I would have about the different models is, but
did you go to the OU Nebraska game last year?
No.
The Nebraska college kids hated us. Yeah. I mean, they were – well, they didn't hate us because, no, it's not like Oklahoma, Texas.
Right, right.
But they still – that rivalry was still brand new to them.
Right.
And it blew my mind how passionate they were about the Oklahoma-Nebraska rivalry because most of those kids
never seen
haven't
play.
Even been born.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I – a lot of times I tell the kids out there, listen, kids – Nebraska football used to be what Alabama kind of is now. Not absolutely. Maybe not winning all the championships, but the consistent at the top or near the top year for 40 years.
Well, they won three or four in the 90s.
They won three in the 90s.
And another one in the 80s.
Never in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
It took Tom till 94.
Took Switzer taking a hike for Tom.
That's,
Tommy to
well,
get, his,
you know,
get his thing going.
That's very true.
So
5-12 against
talking,
Barry.
Talking about the money, here's an interesting thing that I found also. SI rated the top 10 earning football, mm-hmm. college football programs in the nation. Who's number one?
See, I've seen different of these. I'm going to go with Texas or A&M.
How about Oklahoma?
Oh, really?
Sports Illustrated said...
So not worth, just earnings.
Earnings.
Okay.
Sports Illustrated said that going into this year, Oklahoma earned $101 million, the only school to earn...
Over
$100 million. Here's the kicker, though. Talking about money and how money rules, how many teams out of what is about to be the SEC, how many teams in that top 10 of SI's group were not in what is soon to be the SEC?
What do you got? How many? I know one. I guarantee you one wasn't. And I'm going to say
it's in the top
10.
Top 10.
I'm going to say Ohio State was in that top 10.
They were not.
Really?
That blew my mind.
Wow. See, I was going to say two and then one of either Notre Dame or Michigan.
Notre Dame, Michigan, and Utah.
Oh, because Utah had a great – that's right. You know, that's such a year-by-year thing.
It is a year-by-year thing.
Yes.
But think about that. So 7 out of the top 10
mm-hmm.
are going to be in what's about to be the SEC. So there you go. You want to know who's going to control every decision made in college football for the foreseeable future will be decided in the SEC.
That's why I say what I said at first when you ask who could torpedo the deal today. That's why I say the SEC. Because everyone had already agreed on this stuff, and then those other three ran off like little children, a year ago or whatever it was. Now I know that they'll be pushing the idea of different networks televising it. I think that will happen.
It's literally like sitting at the poker table,
yeah.
But everybody's hand is laying down there,
and you
have to decide how you're going to bet against the guy that you already know has you beat.
That's right, and I think another thing that they're going to demand is that this change of networks, because I think it'll start being filtered out to a lot of different networks, a la the NFL with the playoffs and stuff. But that's not happening until 26,
yeah.
Because who has it right now? ESPN.
Yeah.
The SEC's partner.
You know what's going to stink is you're going to have like 15 different streaming service
Yeah.
That's coming too.
Yep.
You know, used to, you could flip around to about 15 different channels and watch games. You'd never watch a single advertisement. Now, get ready, folks. Get ready.
Yep.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
The vote is going to be huge. I think, do you, both of you guys, if the playoff gets expanded, which it sounds like it'd be 2024 would be the first season, is that when Oklahoma and Texas make it in the SEC, or is this the last year of that?
If the expansion happens, if the playoff expansion happens, Oklahoma and Texas will be there in 24.
Okay, so not 23.
Maybe 23.
I think this is it. This is the.
I kind of do
think
too.
This is the final year.
I kind of do too, because
of this current iteration of the Big 12 with OU and Texas.
For a couple reasons. One, it gets the new SEC out a year ahead of the new Big Ten.
Yes.
And then two, they'll be the ones they're going to also have a vested interest in building up the Big 12 to matter. And so the faster they can get this done, the faster that maybe those four corner schools can come in. And then you've got 16 here, 16 here, 16 there. I don't even know how many the ACC has anymore. A ton. I don't know if it's just 16, but all of a sudden now we're getting to, four 16-team conferences. That splits nicely into eight divisions. That splits nicely into the worst one of the eight in every division getting relegated down with your with your Premier League soccer idea.
That's it.
I've heard that idea floated around.
Even
too.
Nick Saban said
it's fantastic. It's
a great idea, because then something I heard Sam May say yesterday, and he's right on the money. Why aren't these little guys having their own champion? Mm-hmm. So you have a playoff for the little guys. Somebody gets to be the champion. The rest of them that make the playoff, guess what? They're with the big guys now.
Absolutely.
And the other eight go down. See you, Kansas. Enjoyed it while it lasted.
But, you know, you say that. See you, Kansas. But when Mangino was there,
that's
Kansas
right.
would have been right back up into it.
That's sure. exactly so. Right. And listen, Lance Leopold just got another year added to his extension for winning two games last year. But they looked good enough. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
He keeps beating Texas, then it's not going to matter.
It's very true. All right, Scotty.
Thank you
very much. It's
go
such
Elks,
a fun topic. It is a Financial Friday with Scott Garrison. Appreciate him stopping by, as he always does, on Friday. We'll tell you all about what he can do for you coming up next. Also, college football games last night. Man, what a fun night it was to be able to sit on the couch and just enjoy college football.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber, or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings, or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member, FINRA, and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. It's a Garrison Financial Fridays with Scott. We always appreciate him stopping by and the topics that he comes up with that have to deal with the money side of sports. And this is probably the one that is forefront in everybody's mind with college football starting and all the different TV contracts, the playoff expansion, conference realignment. There's lots there. Scott himself, we told you, full financial planning. He'll shop the open market to bring you the best value on life insurance and investments. He can also manage your investments. For those of you that like to do it yourself, he can also charge you hourly and kind of build you a plan, and then you manage it yourself. So I know there's a lot of people that like to kind of scroll around and look throughout the day at the different markets and this and that and take an active interest in that. He can help you do that as well. And most of all, He likes to work with the client's accountants, streamline all the tax ramifications and the returns and for everything that you're doing with your financial portfolio. You can visit him at 124 Main Street, South Main Street there in Elk City, or North Main, I guess it would be. South Main, North Main?
Where's the line? Split? Is it third?
It's got to be third Street.
Third. I
mean, it's got to be south.
I think it's like further down south when it's officially south. Just call it Main.
Main, yeah. 124. I'm trying to remember what he said.
I mean, that's like right there downtown. That's Main, right? That's
it is.
Main
southeast Street. Corner of 3rd and Main.
Yeah, Main Street.
124 Main Street. Doesn't sound right. Scott at SoonerWealth.com. I got to write that down when he's in here. I remember the number this week. You know, Scott at SoonerWealth.com. Shoot him a text message. I know we've had some inquiries on our text line about – I knew he would text me. I know we've had some inquiries about his services on our text line in North. Broadway's the Split.
Broadway's the Split. Okay.
North Main. 124 Very North good. Main. Did I get that from somebody else as well? Yes, that's the Split.
All right.
Broadway. Makes sense. The Brick Road being the dividing line in the town.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, he's going to have one of the best seats in the house for the parade.
Right absolutely.
Right there.
Right where they turn.
Yeah, right where they turn. Very good.
Last night, Oklahoma State got a win. Man, if you, like a lot of people, probably turned it off at the end of the first half. Was it 44-7 or something? It was just a blowout. Yeah. Spencer Sanders was unbelievable with that offense. And if you check the final score, you probably went, huh? What happened?
Right.
It ends up being a 58-44 Oklahoma State win. Sanders accounted for 6 touchdowns, did not turn the football over. 4 touchdown passes, 2 rushing touchdowns. Offensively, it's what we talked about yesterday. Be ready to go. I think there are maybe still the one question mark offensively for Oklahoma State is it felt like they either didn't try, which may be the case. I think at one point they had only ran it 9 times or with running backs kind of midway through the third quarter. So it's not really committing much to the run, but it did feel like until the end that the running game was bottled up a little bit by Central Michigan. But all in all, offensively, what a night in Stillwater.
Yeah, that's what you want from your experienced quarterback, and that's stuff I was looking for, you know, guys who could step up around him. But he made everybody good. He was fantastic, 6 total touchdowns. He took care of the football, another good sign. He was good. And that's what you expected of that offense. You wanted them to be explosive like that, and they delivered, especially there early in the game where we thought this game's over. I lost interest. We got to Pizza Hut, and, of course, they had the game on. And, boy, I lost interest in that in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an absolute exhibition in the first half offensively for the Pokes with putting up all those points. I mean, it was just 7 touchdowns in the first half. Or a 6, I mean, and then that safety. And, you know, even at halftime, though, it was kind of started out for scoring that many points. I mean, the first drive went right down the field, and all of a sudden they got stopped. I thought that, to me, the plays of the game that really kind of blew the thing open. One, when Central Michigan had a little bit of the momentum at 7-7, got a stop. We're driving it down into Oklahoma State territory, and McElwain tries a 50-yard field goal instead of going for it on 4th and 3. And then right after that, you had Brennan Presley. You know, the defense gets a stop again, and then Presley downs that punt at the 1. And the safety happens, and then, my gosh, the explosion of offense that came after that.
Yeah.
You know, that just as far as the way the game went. But offensively, I mean, it was exactly what you want. Now, defensively, you didn't expect 44. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But as far as where the strength and the weakness lies in that defense, isn't it kind of what you expected? Central Michigan could not run the football because of the defensive line and the depth. But Oklahoma State looked confused at times in the back end with all those new guys out there.
Right, and they tested that and had a lot of success in the air. And without, again, I mean, I had my phone buzzing me every time somebody would score, but, you know, I was more interested in West Virginia and Pitt and Purdue and Penn State a little bit later. But you know, but to me, it's like, okay, they're trading scores. You know, OSU's took their foot off the gas.
Yeah, in the second half,
In the second half, that's what I meant. And they're just trading scores, and, you know, people are going to rip them, say, you shouldn't have given up that many points. And yeah, it is a lot of points, and it's going to drive defensive coordinators crazy when they're going back to the film. But I think, again, to your point, I think that is right. We expected a little bit of a learning curve with the new guys on that side of the football. And that's okay when you're playing a team like Central Michigan to figure out what to fix, because there obviously will be better teams that they go up against that could have better success slowing down their offense and, of course, scoring on their defense. So that, I think, you know, and it, remember last year, it wasn't like they were – I think Barry Trammell said this yesterday. They weren't blowing anybody out early in the season. They didn't blow a lot of people out all year long, but the defense kept them where they needed to be. And, you know, when they had those tough games against Missouri State and Tulsa and et cetera, you know, they're still learning some stuff, and then the defense found its groove, and the rest is history. I think that can still happen. You know, the schedule is very favorable for them early to where that can happen, but they better fix it in a hurry before Baylor comes.
Yeah, that's to me, they've got till October 1st.
Yeah.
To get it ironed out. It's easy, I think, to look at the amount of points and just completely overreact. Now, the one thing I will say, is maybe not overreaction, but something that I'm going to be watching, is, you know who you didn't see out there last night very often on defense?
Who's that?
Colin Oliver. Colin Oliver isn't even a starter. I understand the idea of Trace Ford coming back to what he was 2 years ago. I understand the idea of that. And Brock Martin, hell, he's 25 years old. I get it, you know, as far as maybe the thinking. But we saw it last year in Norman where Alex Grinch overthought things. Hell, just let Nick Benito go tackle the quarterback.
Yeah.
Quit putting him back in coverage. He's on the NFL level doing it for Denver right now. What are you doing? Like, overthinking it. Oh, we got all this depth. Let's rotate. No. Put Colin Oliver out there and let him go tackle the damn quarterback. I don't.
Put best on best. Yeah.
It's like you overthink it with this stuff. And having depth is great. It's great. But there's a reason why this dude was an freshman All-American and was like seventh in the country in sacks. Where is he at? Maybe there's a reason. He was out there on special teams, so you wouldn't think it's an injury if they're going to let him be in punt coverage.
Right.
So where is Colin Oliver? I mean, maybe it's one of those, like, the first game, hey, let's see what Trace Ford looks like. Let's give him a bunch of reps.
Yeah.
Let's hope that's right. Because when it comes down, if he's out there for 30% of the snaps against Baylor and they lose and look like that on defense, Derek Mason and the rest of them deserve to get roasted for not having that guy on the field.
Yeah, and you're right. It could be, and the thing I got to keep telling, we got to keep telling ourselves is this is a marathon, not a race. So it might be like, hey, let's, you know, we don't need him. We know what he is. We've seen it. Obviously, everything you said.
Let's hope that's right. But you know what? That's what we were hearing early on when it was 40-35 against Tulane and OU's opener. Oh well, you know, they look fresh at the end.
Right.
And then there were some games where the guys weren't out there and they got behind so far there wasn't an end.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Baylor, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just something that I'm going to be watching because I noticed it last night and I'm thinking, what is going on? It's Alex Grinch up there on the headset in Stillwater when he's supposed to be out in L.A., not playing his best players.
Yeah.
It's all – I'm just saying.
It's like they're overthinking it at times.
That's right. And just – it's something I want to watch because last night I couldn't believe, you know, that – in. Heward was making the point, oh, they've got so much depth that they don't even have to play a guy like Colin Oliver. He's a backup. And then you look up, and Oklahoma State couldn't get to the passer. Hmm. Secondary's getting torched, thinking, well, maybe that depth isn't quite as good as, you know, Colin Oliver.
Right.
Anyhow.
And I hope it's not the case where they're
– And he did have a sack, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, when he did get to play – when he did, I mean, he was back there every time.
Yeah. And who knows? We don't know this. I mean,
we don't.
Haven't heard if it's a health thing, and they're, you know,
well,
he's
not 100% on punt team.
That's a good point too.
he's on punt return. You don't think that there's a lot going on with his health?
Maybe he's in the doghouse or something. Maybe he doesn't fit into what.
I'm just simply.
I don't know.
I'm just simply saying, Let's look for it.
Something to keep an eye on.
If that's, you know, two sacks on how many attempts? 50? That's not the OSU defense we saw last year.
No.
They put way more pressure on the passer. So that's just, you know, it's a win.
Win's
offense
a win.
Looked
yeah.
awesome and gave up more points than you want to, but that offense did look great. The backyard brawl, dude, how much did you watch of that?
Like I said, you know, it was a scramble to get home, went to Pizza Hut, had OSU on that in there, and then don't get me started on there. And then we got home, and, you know, it was the process of getting the kids to bed. I had it on, and I was going back and forth, and I was in, seeing West Virginia go up a touchdown, and Pitt would tie it, then Pitt would go up. I mean, that was a fun game, but by the time I sat down to watch the majority of the fourth quarter, that was a fun game. And you're right, man. Anyone who doubted college football and, you know, the passion and
Dude,
the pageantry, that, how fun was that?
You could feel it. I mean, you could honestly – it. You know what it felt like? It felt like watching an OU-Texas game.
Yeah.
With the intensity just popping off the screen
yep.
every single play, and somebody was cheering and somebody wasn't.
Right.
You know, in that
– Every play
It wasn't
mattered.
Split like
yeah.
it, but it, you could hear, you know, the from the fans,
sure.
somebody was going nuts. And it was definitely a pro-Pitt crowd, as it should have been in Pittsburgh and on their home field at Heinz or whatever it's called now. I don't even know the word they said. I heard them saying it.
Went,
oh,
know.
What is that?
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, it was a fantastic game. Gosh, you feel so bad for what was his name? Ford Wheaton, Bryce Ford Wheaton. The receiver who was a major part of the reason Pitt was ahead, or excuse me, West Virginia
yeah.
was ahead, and just an easy pass, and he kind of took his eyes off of it.
He was running before he caught it. Yeah.
And how many times do you see that happen, and it just goes to the sideline and no big deal, instead right to like the sprint champion of Pennsylvania who runs it back for a touchdown, and West Virginia. I mean, it was such a nip and tuck thing where even that last play – on the fourth down, it looked like, oh, my gosh, they're at the one. It's going to be
crazy?
Overtime. And then it was obviously the right call
yeah.
by the officials. But just a fantastic, fantastic game. And I'm going to tell you this. I was one of the main reasons I wanted to watch that game was to see what's up with West Virginia.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, the one thing that would concern me by saying this is that 11 years since that game had happened, you know they were ready, you know, emotionally ready to go. But if we see that West Virginia, they're going to beat somebody.
Yes, yeah, they're better.
They are going to beat maybe a couple of somebodies.
They are better.
Within the conference, I thought, man, Daniels showed all kinds of grit and toughness. You know, he did throw he gets a pick on his record on a perfect pass that just goes through the hands of
yeah.
his receivers. But he was getting battered. That defensive line for Pitt was as advertised, but he kept coming, and he kept making plays. And that freshman running back, C.J. Donaldson, who they thought was kind of a tight end, and they kind of put him back there, 7 carries, 125, and a touchdown. West Virginia's going to beat somebody if they can
yeah.
come with that effort.
Right, and they have to, and they stay healthy, and Daniels has to be that guy, maybe even better, which is always a possibility. A guy gets better throughout the season. Looking at their schedule, I'm going to regret picking them to go 3-9. I think. I mean, now teams like or games like at Virginia Tech look winnable. At Tech, hosting at the back end, they host OU and then Kansas State, and then they finish the year at Stillwater, at Iowa State. I mean, there's a lot of winnable games if they put that effort out. I mean, because Pitt is what 17? Is that what they had them at?
Yeah, the defending ACC
yeah,
champion.
Yeah, so they're. But there's question without Kenny Pickett, but Slovis is a good quarterback as well. How ironic, two guys from USC playing against each other. But, yeah, I think I'm going to regret picking them where I picked them in the Big 12 and having them go 3-9. That's probably a big miss on me. They look better, and I think a big part of that is Neil Brown. I asked it yesterday. It was kind of a must-win for him. Not necessarily. I think the effort that they gave showed that Neil Brown maybe have them going in the right direction, and depending on how this season winds up, because he is a coach on the hot seat in this conference, I think he will be okay if they go and get some of those wins I just mentioned.
Yeah, they won 6 games a year ago. You get that number to 7 or 8 with that, you know, looking the way it looks yeah, I think that's more on the right track of what West Virginia fans are going to expect. But that was it was a fun game. Also, Penn State Purdue was a heck of a game as well. Sean Clifford, man, that dude. I don't know, what is he, 80?
80?
His sixth year. But boy, did he, when when Purdue gave him a chance, and they did it twice, Jeff Brohm, he ought to be taking it from people like us in West Lafayette today, because they got the ball with 6.5 minutes left, didn't burn hardly any time off the clock, then got it back again with 3.5 minutes left and barely burned any time off the clock that time either, which gave Clifford that extra chance. And then all of a sudden, when Penn State offense kind of looked stuck in the mud, boy, that last drive, they called the exact right play at the exact right times, and they just buzzed down the field for the winning touchdown.
Like a perfect drive, how they went down there and scored that wheel route, everything perfect about it.
Really was. So
I'm not sold, though, on those two teams. I thought at the conclusion, I thought, did we just watch a couple of mediocre teams play? You know, I don't know. We'll see. Because I still think, well, Penn State has to deal with the Ohio States. And, you know.
No, sure.
So I don't know. I sometimes you get that. You get a good game, but it's between two mediocre teams. I don't think that was the case in the backyard brawl. I think it might have been a little bit of the case in this one. But still, football's football, and it was a fun game.
At the same time,
I'm not trying to throw water on the fire here, but at the end of the day, I'm like, well, you know, they're two unranked teams in the Big Ten, and are we just watching a couple mediocre teams? I don't know.
Penn State was 5-0 a year ago with a 17-3 lead on the road at then number 2 Iowa when Clifford got hurt, and then they end up losing 3 or 4 in a row and kind of derailed their season. It's left to be seen, but, you know, guys, like I came in here when he was struggling to talk about, you know, Joel Klatt even said it, and using himself as an example. If you have like a longtime starting quarterback in college football, is that a good thing? Because that just means to him, you weren't good enough to leave.
Yeah. That's kind of what the perception is coming in.
It took me back to like Landry Jones.
Right.
At OU.
Right. Set a lot of records because it was there for half a decade.
That's right. But then Clifford, man, made those plays at the end and took the Nittany Lions on the game-winning drive. Let's talk about Oklahoma tomorrow. I'm going to ask you the same questions I asked you yesterday about Oklahoma State. What would you consider, or what do you want to see out of the Sooners tomorrow against UTEP?
I'll be quite honest with you. I want to see a blowout. I don't want to see what we saw versus Tulane last year. And hopefully with the new coaching staff and Lebby running the offense, and of course Venables in most control of the defense, we hope we get that. There's no reason UTEP should hang around with this team. UTEP lost to North Texas at home, for crying out loud, last week. There's no reason that this team should hang around with OU. So just to start the season off on a good note, and, you know, just honestly, a blowout win. That's what I want to see.
I put sure tackling.
I got it on my notes for different
– right.
For your different questions, okay. But yeah.
That's what I want to see. When somebody gets hit, they go down for UTEP, because that would signal, you know what, maybe this coaching staff – is making a difference, because it's going to be a lot of the same guys out there. What would you consider a successful outing?
Just again, kind of a no doubt blowout win. And everything just, it's kind of, you know, I'm kind of going back to what I said yesterday, but just, you know, doing the good things right, you know, doing the right things good, excuse me. You know, no mistakes, just being crisp and not having to open the playbook too much, and just taking care of business. Make the game boring for me. You know what I mean? I don't want to be on the edge of my seat in the fourth quarter. But just do the good things right.
I'm going to see something in the 50s against something less than 14.
I'm a little bit more ambitious.
This team scored 13 points against North Texas. They better not be in the 20s against Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it's going to be a lot of the same.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Ask me the next question.
So what will make you feel positive?
10 or less points given up.
Okay. That's where.
Yeah. So, because for that, I keep going back to them playing North Texas and getting beat in El Paso. So I – there's, again, why would this team hang around this with this OU team? It's a mismatch beyond comparison. So why give up any more than 14? But I'd say 10 or less, I'd feel really good about that.
I want to see the offensive line dominate. I don't want to see Oklahoma have to resort to throwing screens and throwing the ball to move it down the field. Hand it off and run their tail over. That's what I want to see. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously going to be passing because of the way that Levy designs the offense, but he does love to run the football.
Yeah.
And I want to see that offensive line that, quite frankly, was a disappointment a year ago. Those guys are all pretty well back. Get it gelled and get it going and dominate at the offensive line. What would make you feel negative?
Well, I've alluded to it, a shootout. Having to go score for score with them. I'm not taking a shot at OSU, but similar to something like we saw yesterday in the second half. If it's something like that, and you know, we're walking away with mixed feelings like, well, the offense, man, look at that offense go. But, man, the defense still needs a lot of work. But a shootout would make me feel a little negative and very, very cautious about the rest of the year.
Yeah, mine's defensively well. I don't want to see a whole. I don't want to see a 10-play drive for UTEP. The same crap you saw a year ago with the unable to get off the field on third and down, or getting off the field. You think you get off the field on third down, but you give up 6 yards on third and eight that allows a team to go for it on fourth down and continue drives. I don't want to see a double digit play drive out of UTEP at any point. I don't care if it's at the very end. It shouldn't happen. That's where I think we're a lot the same. And maybe another positive would be to see the offense actually hum or where you can tell it can.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that all starts with running the football and that offensive line dominating this game.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I wrote it down about the tackling. You know, I was looking for those little things that we kind of take for granted, you know, in playing football. You just assume everybody, you know, knows how to tackle. You know, get back to that form tackling, wrap them up, take them down. None of this hit them with your shoulder and hope they go down stuff. And then schematically what the defense is going to look like compared to what we had it, where we had it last year, years before with Grinch. What's it going to look like now? More aggressive defense, a lot of attacking. You know, Venables loves to pin his ears back and send them. We're going to see a lot of that in this first game. But just overall, just schematically what the defense is going to look like, what the tackling is going to look like.
On the text line, we got hard hitting, sure tackling, flying around on defense.
I think every Sooner fan
on
wants
offense.
That. Yeah.
Also, OU pass defense. I am cautiously very optimistic about the back end.
You have been, yeah.
I really am. I think you've got the right guys at the right spots. I think Woody Washington is an all conference corner, maybe even to the all American type level. I think he has that much talent in him.
Anxious to see Billy Bowman
in
a starting role. Yeah,
that's another guy that. Came in last year with all kinds of hype. It felt like Grinch never figured out where he needed to be. And then you see Venables come on campus, and in like 3 days, like, that's a safety. That's him right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the prototypical type guy. So,
side note, do you think the kicking game, the place kicker is still – you think there's still a battle there? I want to see – maybe get a field goal or two. Let's see.
Special teams just
special
got
teams, yeah. Obviously, punting is wrapped up. You know, what's punt return look like? I think Bowman was tabbed
Mims,
as a guy.
Mims and Gray,
Farouk, or, I don't know. But, you know, that's just some other stuff to look at. But, yeah, mainly, though, I'm looking at defense. I don't think there's going to be any problem with the offense.
Question.
Not in this one.
Are those too high expectations for first game under new coaches?
It would be
what
other places.
What happens if it doesn't happen?
Yeah. Well, that it's.
Oh, no.
It's OU, and there's always going to be those expectations.
That's, well,
is that fair to say?
Does it ruin the season? No, because
no.
Unless you lose to the UTEP,
well, God,
then that'll ruin it. But it's also going to signal. I mean, I think looking back at a year ago, everybody was up in arms at a 40-35 win over Tulane,
right?
And rightfully so, as it turned out.
Right.
Now there have been other years where teams have struggled early and then got their act together, but it's not that the first game is the end all be all, but it does. I mean, it can show some warts that maybe you were expecting to see, and maybe some warts that you didn't know were coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, of course, there's time to fix a lot of this stuff for anybody, but it also can kind of make you think.
Well, good news is there's no major job opening and our coach isn't distracted this year.
Well, are you sure about that? All right, we'll hit around.
That's good, yeah.
We'll hit around the country and also some high school football. I've got one question about the games tomorrow, the big games. And then we'll talk about high school football to wrap up the show. Also, going to mention one last time the game that we're going to play all year long. Yep. Skinny on Sports right here on the Sports Animal.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's in the hole.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal.
Just occurred to me, it might be my problem why we don't have umps out there.
Well, I wasn't gonna throw you under the bus like that.
It just occurred to me.
Other things on the text line about OU and OSU both. Will special teams be a priority under the staff, especially return game? I know that's been a gripe for a bunch of Sooner fans, not even trying to return kicks for a long time. Also, from an OSU, I turned off the OSU game first of the third quarter, started watching West Virginia Pitt, caught the highlights. OSU game later, and wow, talk about letting your foot off somebody's neck. Kind of looked like a Lincoln Riley let up.
Well, didn't I just say it at the top of the hour? It felt like I was watching a Riley-era OU football game. Get a big lead, and
is all the talk of Saban not retiring just a smokescreen to get Mike Gundy in talks to be the next coach at Bama?
Is that from the text line?
No, that's making a joke.
Are you serious, Clark?
It's me making a joke. So, anyhow. Just the Lincoln Riley comparison there, Jared. He's already thinking about his next job.
Okay, I'm on board now. It's a little slow to the party. It's a long text from the text line.
I can see people wanting OU coaches fired if they go 9-3 and 8-4. Yeah, I don't think that's right. Not yet.
Not yet.
Next year, maybe. That's the nature of the beast, though, right? If you're gonna coach at one of these big schools. There's going to be expectations.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're unrealistic, sometimes they aren't. But that's just the way everyone understands that. And the guy's making, $6.5 million?
No
one's going to feel bad about if he gets fired. Just the nature of the game.
And, yes, 9-3 is basically a disappointment in a lot of people's eyes because there's always that expectation of 10-plus win seasons. But it would be a bigger disappointment to go 9-3 and look good at it and everyone go, okay, Venable's got them going in the right direction, and then you start hearing all the offseason talk like, that's the team, pick them to put in the playoff, that's the team's going to win if they're still in the Big 12, da-da-da, and then go and do it again, that's when the disappointment starts to – that's when the rumblings start. But this year
– And by the way, be careful what you ask for those rumblings. Ask Nebraska.
Yeah, you want to fire a
– Ask Nebraska.
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow – who has a better chance? Who will pull off an upset? Cincinnati, Notre Dame, or Oregon?
Well, I'd put the money on Cincinnati because Notre Dame and Oregon both on the road. I know it's a neutral site for Oregon, but not really. And both first-year head coaches. Well, that's a tough ass to start your career with games against Ohio State and Georgia. So Cincinnati, I think they have a real good shot of beating Arkansas.
I'm going to go with Oregon.
Okay.
Because of what – I mean, listen – I know Georgia's recruited great. Look at what they lost at that defense.
Right.
And they're not playing a rum-dum game one where they have chances to iron it out. We saw Oregon go into Ohio State and win just 2 years ago.
Very true.
So I'm going to go with Oregon.
And there's the fact
that... I have a feeling none of these win, but I think I'll go with Oregon.
Think about the new head coach and where he came from.
Georgia.
Georgia. I mean, Dan Lanning has a... I mean, it hasn't been 3 or 4 years since... I mean, it was just last year he was there. So he's not... He's... There might be some familiarity there. Might be, I won't say like cheating or an advantage, but he's still thinking like an SEC coach is what I'm saying. So maybe there's some advantage there. Maybe.
Yeah. And just asking about that. I agree. It does feel like the mindset has shifted back. Well, it's clearly shifted back to more of a defensive identity at Oklahoma than it was under Riley. There's no doubt about that. Now we'll see if that works. You know. I also think you'll get people that have been clamoring to see a 21-17 game. When 21-17 games go the wrong way, then there will be griping about, well, my gosh, can we not score any more than 17 points?
Right.
You know? I mean, it's encapsulated.
Back in the early Bob days and with Brent there and Mike, and
listen,
with the offense wasn't working, you could always kind of think, well, the defense might get us through this.
But they had the luxury of a decade of suck at Oklahoma.
Right.
They had the whole decade before them of terrible football. None of these guys have that luxury stepping in because of the monster has been fed and created.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where
the expectations and, yeah.
Sure. And Bob built them, and somebody's going to have to keep on, living up to that standard.
Right.
All right, high school football tonight. Big Elks at Bridge Creek. Note the game time, 7:30. Not 7 as originally scheduled. It's going to be a 7:30 kickoff between the Elks and Bridge Creek. We'll also have Merritt and Cordell. That one will be on Big Elk TV. Merritt and Cordell on Paragon TV. Can the Oilers knock off the Blue Devils for their first win? And, Jared, we welcome the Hollis Tigers to Paragon TV. They've got Wilson in town tonight down there in Hollis.
8-man, right?
No. Oh, yes, yeah, Class B.
Yeah, 8-man. It's our first 8-man school that we've had on Paragon.
I think it's the first broadcast of an 8-man football game we'll ever do on Paragon TV.
I might just maybe watch it on the way home, the replay, I guess, but just to see.
You're going
to
have a hard time watching and driving at the same time.
I'll tell you what, brother, this year I'll drive there, you drive back, or vice versa.
That's not really the way that goes.
Oh, come, I'm not your chauffeur.
Are you sure?
Are you sure? Maybe, okay, Drew!
Maybe Drew can drive.
Drew can drive. Till his back gives out.
Also, one I know that we'll have our eye on, Clinton McGinnis is an interesting game around the state in 4A1. And Cash, it slipped my mind. Weatherford Kingfisher is a game that I'm going to be interested in. Woodward joins the fray at Guthrie. Cash and Altus, that's who it was. Just to kind of, you can't compare scores.
Sure.
But yeah, just to see what happens with the Bulldogs.
Is it at Altus, I assume?
It is at Altus.
Yeah. Yeah, you usually don't, it's usually fool's gold to do that, but comparing scores in high school, it actually kind of helps you.
Just want to see.
It gives you a good idea.
Just want to get an idea. And don't forget, before tomorrow, sign up, Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. We busted through the 50 mark. 54 brave souls to come play with us. It's going to be a lot of fun. Pick games against the spread each and every week. You might get a little harassment if you do terrible, but that's just all part of the fun-natured game that we play. ESPN's website, The Skinny on Sports, is the group. People before property is the motto. That's the motto at Western Oklahoma Realty. Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, all the gang down there at Western Oklahoma Realty. Be there to service your real estate needs. Give them a call, 580-225-6271. You can do that through ESPN website, or we still have the link posted on the Skinny on Sports Facebook page as well.
Right at the top. Can't miss it.
All right. Everybody enjoy Labor Day.
Yeah.
Enjoy the parade. Enjoy the rodeo. Enjoy college football. It's back. Hopefully this weekend can live up to the standard that last night set.
It's true. A lot of fun.
High school football tonight. Big Oak TV and Paragon TV. Everybody have a great day, and we will be back on Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered up.